Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start this off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know that you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How she caught me, loves. You're listening to the Mac City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Neralto Eta. Just a quick chat about the wonderful community we live in here. As you guys know, we support the Oil Barons. We've joined the Drive-In Movie Theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and make sure we're taking care of the kids and all the local businesses, all the local charities, and all the local foundations, guys. That's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Big shout out to Noral Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. Thank you very much for your ongoing support. We really do appreciate it. As everybody at home knows, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name is Frank Power. I'm head of Hoop Heroes Inclusive Basketball Program. It's a program for kids with special needs, ages 5 to 18. We are officially starting on March 7th, and it's going to be the first round of us doing this. It's going to be 5 weeks long, so we have three different groups. So we have up to 60 kids in numbers.
Wow.
And, yeah, we expected to just start with try it out for 5 weeks. It was that break in between teacher convention and Easter.
Right.
And there's other events on the go, too, with, like, we have the Challenger Hockey's on the go and then Challenger Baseball, and I was trying not to make parents choose,
right?
Because there's not many opportunities for that.
Yeah.
So we said, well, let's try it out. We'll do 5 weeks, and we had just it was like a two sessions from 6 to 8, and then our numbers started exploding, and now we're had to make a third group, and so we broke our age groups up a bit more, and so we have a 5 to 7 group, we have a 8 to 11 group, I think.
Yeah.
And then a 12 to 17 group.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
And so this, why did you feel this was obviously, you found, long story short, you found out that there was a need. How did you, or why did you think there was a need for this?
Well, I'm a father of two kids that are on the spectrum, ages 4 and 7.
So okay.
A bit of personal experience with this. And
right.
I'm a phys ed teacher as well. And just seeing, I guess, the opportunities, or just there wasn't enough opportunities, I felt, as a parent of a special needs kid.
Right.
Just having sports being offered. And mm-hmm. I have a background in basketball for about 25 plus years.
Yeah.
Haven't coached like too much over the last few years because I've been a dad first.
And yeah.
I just had the experience last year of having my kid in Challenger Baseball for the first time, my oldest, Patty.
Yeah.
And we just saw, okay, this is something that's for these kids because there's times that programs have offered, you know, chances for kids with different abilities or whether it be neurotypical or not.
Right.
And to go in like different things. But like my kids are both nonverbal, for example. They both use iPads to talk in terms of following directions. And it's just, we said, me and my wife both have a lot of experience in this.
Yeah.
And I just feel that to get something off the ground, someone needs to start it.
Right, right.
And it's been talked about for many years, I guess, and just with everything that's happened over the last few years with COVID and the opportunities that were lost. And I think the special needs families have had it even harder.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those things they had, those opportunities they had to go out and socialize and interact, they were stuck inside a lot more. They were restricted
right.
a lot more.
That's right.
So I'm trying to give them that opportunity through a sport that's given so much to me, sport of basketball.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. So when you have children and youth enroll in this, I know my little guy, he's in basketball here in town, and they do a lot of, once a week there's a practice, and then there's a game, and then a practice and a game. How does your league work?
Well, the way we're doing it is we're going to have a partnership with Keanu College.
Okay.
So we'll have like volunteers from like their different sports teams.
Oh, fantastic.
Because part of it is like, well, don't have to be just the basketball players. Like these are athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know, like some of these athletes could have a brother, a sister, a cousin, or someone they grew up with that had cerebral palsy.
Right.
Had autism.
Right.
Had Down syndrome. Was blind or deaf or,
mm-hmm.
you know, different things like that. And I guess the discussion sort of started from there one day. Myself and the head athletic director, John Lambert, we go way back to our days in Newfoundland coaching and even playing very, very long ago. And we just sort of started talking, and I guess word got around to him, and we sat down and had a meeting and said, okay, we'll work this out. And then they'll send up some players, and then we'll also have some, like, just volunteers
mm-hmm.
from around the community as well for, like, the different sessions. We created, like, sign-up geniuses and stuff like that. And just getting those people involved. And what that does for parents is, as a parent myself, is when you take your kid out to an event, whether it's going to a playground or an outing or a birthday party, you don't get to sit down much. You don't get to socialize much.
That's right.
Stuff that other people take for granted.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do with this is every one of these players, these kids are going to have a buddy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll follow them around and help them out. And some kids will love basketball. Some kids will not feel it too much. Or some kids will might need assistance.
Right.
And what those people are, those buddies, are going to help those kids and go through the different activities. There's going to be stations set up. So we got donations and different things, and we bought these different types of adapted equipment.
Okay.
So, for example, I have a kid that's registered, and she's nearly legally blind.
Yeah.
So I got basketballs with bells in them.
Oh, neat.
For the sound. And, like, even my little guy who's not blind, but he was just dribbling, he found it, like, quite amusing himself, right?
Right, right.
And just, we got basketballs with different grips, like, you know, for the touch and the dexterity.
Okay.
Basketballs with, like, shows the hands, so show them where to actually grip the ball properly.
Right.
Different types of modified baskets, like, stuff for agility, stuff for footwork, stuff to help them out. So it's going to be, stations are going to be set up with little directions. And the first session is going to be, okay, let's just get everyone used to each other. Get those volunteers used to the kids. Get the parents comfortable with their kids taking part.
Yeah.
And just giving them the opportunity to explore, to play, to adapt the activities to as many different types of learning styles. Physical, social, okay, anything is possible, and just trying to make it work.
Very cool, very cool. So you said you had a background in basketball. So what did you play? We're talking high school, we're talking college.
Well, so long ago now. I went up, I'm from Newfoundland, so I went up through the provincial system. I was pretty lucky. I got to play some provincial basketball, and I even had to represent my province for the Canada Games.
Oh, wow.
Very long ago.
Okay.
97, I'm dating myself there a bit. Then I guess we didn't really have, say, like the Keanu level, like that small college. It was, you try to play for Memorial University.
Yeah.
Or unless you wanted to go to another province and pursue it.
Right.
And if I had to think about it and, like, have that piano thing, I might have tried to go move and play basketball that way and see what I can do.
Right.
And eventually, pretty soon after that, I started getting into coaching. My dad was a coach. He coached me all the way up through my brother and my sister.
Yeah.
And I just started getting into coaching. I got involved in the minor basketball program. So I was involved with a minor basketball program for 7 years.
Yeah.
And coached high school basketball, junior high basketball, you name it. And I was in Newfoundland. Then I moved to Grand Prairie for a stint as a teacher, then Norway House, Manitoba.
Oh, wow.
Which is north central on a reserve for 4 years there. Learned a lot there, coaching and just had community life there. And then spent 6 years at Holy Trinity, and now I'm 5 years at LC Annex, so I'm in my 16th, 17th year of teaching of Lost Tribe.
Wow, that's fantastic, man. Well, listen, Tanner just tapped his phone, so that means he has his questions ready for his segment called the Max City Minute. Sure. Before we get there, though, we're going to throw to an ad from Carrie from Patchouli Rose. Carrie, take it away.
Hi, it's Carrie with Patchouli Rose Herbal Apothecary. I know our summer is coming quickly to an end. And during the summer, we always think of applying our sunscreen. But sunscreen is a product that we should be using every day of the year to protect our skin against harmful UVA and UVB rays, also against premature aging. I have a product called Dandelion Harvest, which is moisturizing, anti-inflammatory, and is great for anti-aging. You can use this every day of the year, and it's very moisturizing. If you want to check this product and any of my other products out, please go to patchoulirose.com.
And we are back. Thank you, Carrie from Patchouli Rose. We do appreciate your ongoing support. Tanner, hit him with the Max 80 Minute.
Question number one for you today. What is your favorite moment that you've had playing basketball?
Man, favorite moment. Playing? Well, I was lucky enough when I was in Newfoundland to be a part of won three provincial championships. And the only year I didn't win was grade 12. I was sort of lucky to play on some good teams at different levels. So I had three different teams. Three different sets of roles on that. So probably in my high school career in that and making and playing in the Canada Games, I never played too much, but yeah. Just the experience of being there and, you know, being with that team and those players from across the country. Mm-hmm. So that's probably my top as a player.
Question number two, what is one moment that you think is the most iconic sports moment to you?
Sports moment?
Yeah.
Head scratcher. When you ask these questions, I try to think about them in my head too, and like just like.
Yeah. I think most iconic sports moment to me, I look at two different things. So, you know, being Canadian, grew up Toronto Raptors fan. So, 2019, mm-hmm. I just remember people even calling me because they knew I was in high school or whatever. Yeah. Like when that started, and the Damon Stoudemire, and then. Just when they won that title, I'd probably say that Vince Carter slam dunk contest in 2000. Mm-hmm. I still remember going there and then going to Subway that night and people talking about that in the Subway lineup. And,
right.
And then, you know, I grew up a Jordan fan and, you know, 1998, that shot and how everything ended.
Yep.
That's how it ended for me, not this stuff.
I was going to say the same thing, actually, to Jordan. Final with a shot. It was against Utah Jazz, I believe.
Yeah.
That's the one moment. As soon as Tanner asked a question, that's what came to my mind immediately.
Good. One of the first posters my wife got me.
There you go.
Question number three: what is one reason you think Fort McMurray is a great place to raise children?
Fort McMurray is a great place to raise children because it just has a lot to offer. I was lucky enough to be on the board of directors of the Arctic Winter Games very recently, and I think we all take for granted what we have up here, mm-hmm. the facilities, the resources, the knowledge of different people and different things, that we're just so used to having it, so used to having a Mac Island, so used to having a Keanu College or these different places to shop. I just remember hearing stories when these different families came from some very remote places around Canada and the world, and they're like, wow, there's Walmart, or wow, there's, you know, a KFC or a Tim Hortons, stuff that we take for granted.
Yeah, yeah.
That's here. And just the facilities that we have and the resources, especially even special needs families. Yeah, we got to travel a bit, but we have a lot here, mm-hmm. too, and both of our school systems and our towns. So there's a lot here, and I think we forget what we have at times, right? Like, I know some people have moved, and some people said, well, there's more stuff here, or we don't have a professional team, or
right.
We don't have, like, a Costco or something, but we have a lot here. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to do and all around.
Yeah,
right? Facts. Varieties of families.
There you go.
Question number four. What is one moment from your childhood that you remember being the happiest?
Being the happiest is probably when I just played sports. And I didn't. I literally only played basketball from a small school, small community. It was, you joined the cross country team. You had to run because you had to be in shape to play basketball.
Yeah.
That was just the rule. And I just enjoyed playing basketball. Played a ton of games. We were always traveling, like the road trips, eating at these different random places, the stories when you're just sitting on like a small little, and it, like what we're not supposed to be doing now when you shoved like about eight people in a pickup or something like like sitting on top of each other and just bags on top of each other and all the drives and things like that. Those are the memories that sort of stick for me when I was playing sports and just the different relationships with your team and the people that you played against, and then seeing those people so many years after.
Yeah.
And just having those, like, the remember when chats.
There you go.
And your final question. Who do you think is an NBA player you tried to emulate the most when you played? Man.
I didn't reach that.
I feel like everybody tried to emulate like their favorite player when they were a kid.
I just remember when I was younger and that whole be like Mike and the old tongue and everyone's like trying to drink Gatorade and all that type of stuff. And then you're like, well, I'm not that good of a jumper as him, or I'm not that good of this, and this. So you had all these dreams when you were a kid of what you thought in your head that you can do. But as you started getting older and like, okay, I'm not progressing at the way I thought I would. So it was like, you had that dream of that superstar athlete or you're going to be this type of thing. For me, it was like what I thought was the best basketball player in the world at the time. So
He was.
Yeah, he was. There you go.
Those were your five questions.
There you go. Yeah, I was a big Michael Jordan fan. Like, I have his jersey still. I played a lot of basketball here in town. But there was one player that I didn't know this until like later on. I didn't know Michael Jordan was such a trash talker when we were younger, because like they didn't show that. But there was one guy that I knew who was a trash talker, and that was Gary Payton.
Oh yeah.
And so I was just like, man, I want to play as good as Mike, but I want to talk as good as Gary Payton on the court. Those are my two. I'll just ask, like, roughly how old are you?
I'm 44 now. So, okay, so we had to distinguish. Not a good distinguished thing in Newfoundland. It was supposed to be LeBron James' first game in North America.
Yeah.
Vince Carter was still with the Raptors, and they decided to put the floor over the ice.
Right.
And they, I guess, extended the seating area, and they didn't take the fact that the floor was on the ice, so the game got canceled.
Oh.
CNN. It was a rough time, but I just remember sitting down for about a half hour, just like, yeah, we'll be back in 2 years.
Yeah.
That was like 2003.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So we're roughly the same age. So you're just like a little bit by like 3 years older than me now. So when you were watching basketball, when did you start? Like, I started, Michael Jordan was the man. My very first game that I ever saw was the Lakers playing the Chicago Bulls. So I wasn't there to really see like the Detroit games or see LA in their glory with Magic Johnson. Like, were you there roughly at my time or before?
A bit before that. I remember a lot of the Bulls and Pistons.
Okay.
And
you're lucky, man.
The losing to the Bulls and Pistons.
Right.
And just that little bear, like, I'm still a bit young, the younger side then, but that just that end to that Lakers Celtics thing. My dad.
Game over. Of the Bulls just started. Which the old clips. It would have been nice to see some of those other teams actually having a chance. Because once the Jordan era kicked in, nobody stood a chance.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I feel bad for all those iconic players that like Patrick Ewing, Clyde Drexler, like all of these Hall of Famers who never got a chance to wear a ring because Jordan was just that dominant.
Yeah, he sent a few people home.
Yeah. So anyways, Tanner just tapped his watch, so that means we're out of time. But before we cut you loose today, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
We're starting March 7th, a officially. So we'll be going on Tuesday nights. We'll have three different sessions, ages 5 to 18. We always try to make it work in terms of if there is anyone else interested, and if there's not, we'll be definitely doing it again in the fall and looking to probably do it at least twice a year, and if we're lucky, three times a year. So for something that started that was 5 weeks long, it's looking to be more like a regular thing now.
That's so awesome, man.
Looking forward to seeing all the kids, and thanks to everyone for the support so far.
There we go. Well, for McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. Thank you very much to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose. We do appreciate both of your ongoing support. I hope everybody at home is having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace. voice towards it. So like when I talk to Tanner, like if I was going to talk to your friends and I would turn my